You know what? This has been a show of us forgetting shit. And me not forgetting shit, but you saying to me, hey, you trying to think of something? Hey, you, with that blank look on your face that no one could see. Let me call you on that. Hey, you thinking of a joke? Hey, jokey? It's like, yes, that's what I do with the show. I try to think of gags. Why are you calling me on it?
That's my job on the
show. Hey, funny guy. What are you doing?
I'm here to call you on
making jokes.
You don't understand my role in the show?
Okay.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
I remain Ian Boothby.
You remain... I am still David Dedrick.
Okay, good. Yeah, we're consistent.
Okay.
That's what people like. Here's the thing. You know how people look at like a Charlie Sheen sitcom and it's not funny, right? It's not amusing.
It's not amusing.
But you know what it is? Consistent. People enjoy their entertainment. Consistency above all. Above consistency all. Uber alles, as Goebbels said.
Is that what he?
Yeah, when he did that comedy Nine's Company back in Germany.
Back in, like, trying to remember the year, weren't you?
No, what's that? No.
1938 was the year that show started.
Is that the year the show started? When did Mr. Roper get replaced?
When did it jump?
Under tragic circumstances on that show.
When did it jump the dachshund? Is that what you're going to ask me?
That's what I was going to ask you, yes.
Yeah.
No, back then, actually, all of World War II was an unfortunate misunderstanding, much in the same way as the plots of Nine's Company.
Well, when the Ropers were taken off the show with their yellow stars and were mysteriously removed from the show one night and replaced by Mr. Fuhrer,
right,
who joined the cast.
And that first episode where Jack pretends to be gay, and that's the end of him.
Yeah.
And then it's just the girls for the rest of the entire run of the show.
I should have said Mr. Fuhrerly, but oh well.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I missed the joke on that.
Okay, we're about 1 minute deep, and we've had about 3 Hitler references. That's how that goes.
We did not reference him once. You referenced Goebbels.
Right, and then you went Fuhrer.
But that's his leader.
You meant the other Fuhrer.
Yeah, furious. Fast and furious.
Yeah, the Fast and the Fuhrer.
That was the German version of the... Yeah.
Yep. Well, both star a skinhead, so it's all fine. Yeah, I went to see the Art Spiegelman thing at the art gallery, so I got that whole Hitler thing on the brain.
Oh, okay.
That's where that goes on.
Okay.
And I didn't care for that, but I liked his Garbage Pail Kids, but I especially liked his Wacky Packs. They had the
Wacky Pack
stickers.
Yeah.
Nice.
I had a complete run of the first series of those. I managed to collect the entire series because they were numbered, so you knew they're 5 out of 100 or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And so I got them all. And then my brother stuck them all to the side of a dresser.
Yep.
And I was quite upset.
Yeah.
That I...
How much is that dresser worth today?
That's right. How much... Yeah. After mom scraped it off and painted it,
well,
zero.
At the art gallery, they had them all stuck to the wall as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have hated that exhibit probably.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I was a collector. Even then, I had that mania for
baseball cards. Did you do those as well?
I did hockey cards.
Okay.
Hockey cards. But... really, the thing I liked most about hockey cards was the gum. That particularly brittle...
Yeah, cut your mouth up.
Cut your mouth gum. Yeah. But I like how it tasted, though.
And then you went, like, I haven't cut my mouth enough. I'm going to have some Captain Crunch cereal, no milk, and just eat it as fast as possible.
Opeachy, that was the company that made the hockey cards in those days.
Didn't Opeachy also make the Bazooka Joe gum? Isn't that...
They may have.
I believe it is. I may be incorrect.
You could be. I mean, in those days, cards were treated like crap. Like, you just... You'd play the game where you'd lean them against the wall, and then you'd toss cards and try to knock them over. And the ones you knocked over, you'd get to keep them.
Right.
We
had no internet then. This was what we had to do. I got a question about the gum. Could I just go back to
Scramble? You remember Scramble?
No, I do not.
Oh, okay. Scramble. Well, Scramble was when you had cards that you didn't want because there were a bunch of doubles.
Yeah, lots of doubles,
and they're
triples.
Worthless. Like, because no one wanted them, they were
much like when you get a twin brother. Mm-hmm. The brother is worthless.
That's worthless.
That's right.
So you would just go. You'd just yell Scramble, and you'd throw them into the air.
Right.
And then people would madly try and collect them.
Nice. Very good. By the way,
melee would.
Some sort of siren is going by. Everyone, please take a drink.
Please do. I'll do it right now.
Okay, there you go. Dave is drinking a refreshing Coca-Cola. Wow.
That is loud and long.
Yeah. And so was that sip.
I think that guy was a little bit of a ham.
Now here's
He knew that the podcast is being recorded now.
Yeah.
And
he's listening live.
He's listening live.
This does go out live to ambulances. Any 911 We do tap into the 911 signal.
Basically, we take it over.
We do. And that's kind of a dick move on our part. Yeah, so for about an hour or so, we take over the 911. And that's one of the reasons that we have so many sirens go by, is they're responding to us, thinking that we're in desperate trouble.
Yeah.
Which Dave usually is about 1 minute into the show.
Yeah.
He's just scrambling. As they say, scrambling. There you go.
Yeah.
Tie it back. Back to the gum. This also ties
the most important topic we've ever discussed on the show.
Now, if you buy baseball cards, you get that gum. It's the same situation as when you buy a Bazooka Joe log of gum. Remember, it used to come in kind of a log.
Yep,
you could buy that. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm also going to tie this into Popeye cigarettes.
Love those.
Which later became Popeye candy sticks.
Yes,
which again made no sense because Popeye didn't smoke cigarettes. Why the hell is he got?
Or eat candy.
Or eat candy. No, he didn't. Okay, but they always had that white powder on them.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't seem to be like powdered sugar. It's not that. What was that stuff? Like, it was always covering everything.
Powdered cigarettes.
Just to get you addicted.
No. I mean, in the box, the cigarettes would be rubbing against each other. I'm just saying cigarettes in quote. Like, the candy would be rubbing against each other and creating this powder.
All right, then I might be mistaken about that. Let me then go back to the gum. The gum always had that white stuff, like, sort of lightly covering it.
Mm-hmm.
What was that business? Was that cornstarch? Was that sugar?
Probably.
Was that... What was the point? To dry it out?
It was probably to keep it from sticking to the package. So when you opened it, it wasn't this gooey mass stuck to a plastic wrapper.
Oh, okay.
Because that would be... not fun.
And then we ended up with Bubble Yum technology, which was no stick bubbles. And then from then on, you thought, well, that's the end of the original gum. But it wasn't. It continued on, and everyone was fine with that.
Thank goodness for Hubba Bubba, because I could not blow bubbles before Hubba Bubba gum.
How so? What was the problem?
I don't know. I just couldn't get the technology. I couldn't figure it out. Actually, I learned to whistle before I learned to blow bubbles. And a friend and I, we exchanged technology. I taught him how to whistle, and he taught me how to blow bubbles.
Oh, that's adorable.
I don't think you can actually teach either of those skills, but I think we encourage each other to work at it enough that
here's what they showed me was I talked to a girl and she showed it. She took the gum out of her mouth, stretched it, stuck her tongue through it, and then just did it, basically externalized the process, and I went, I get it now.
Okay.
Yeah, because kids, you can't describe what's going on in your mouth.
Right.
You don't have that many words.
Yeah, I don't think he did that for me. That would have been sort of helpful, but then you kind of have to know. But it's hard to teach. Like, neither Millis nor Phyllis can whistle.
What?
And I have tried to teach them.
So you have tried to teach them and you have failed as a father
at
the whistling.
Neither of them can trill.
As in that?
Yeah, can't do it. Okay. Can't be Scottish.
Right.
Or pretend Scottish.
Because you hate the Scots.
No, it's nothing to do with it. I can do it.
It seems like...
I can trill. I just trill.
I know, but at a genetic level, I think you have passed on your hatred of the Scots to your daughters.
And then... Yeah, but they can't do like a Mexican or not Mexican, a Spanish accent.
Hat dance? They cannot do a simple hat dance?
They can't do a Spanish lap dance. And then...
The Spanish lap dance is just you dance around the lap. It's not as sexy as you think it would be.
It's all about the dog.
Okay.
And
you've got a bowl of nacho chips in your lap at the time. So that's nice, at least. You get like a nice bunch of hot cheese in your lap.
Everyone's hot cheese in their lap.
Yep.
So then... This sounds worse than an actual lap dance,
mm-hmm.
which is, to me, always sounded like the most humiliating experience.
Yeah.
Most humiliating experience on earth, because I'm not a person who's confident in that way.
Wouldn't it be creepy if a guy who his day job is working as Santa got a lap dance? Wouldn't that be creepy?
I think, to me, it's creepy that anyone.
I know, but especially if you'd really jack it up if you just go like a guy who looks like Santa getting a lap dance.
Sure,
that'd be really weird.
How about dressed like a clown? How about dressed like Ronald McDonald?
Okay, you're not going to do that. You're not going to go dressed as Ronald McDonald. But as a gentleman who looks like Santa,
you can't pull off your beard if you look like
Santa and you've got a belly. You can't just like lose the weight going into the strip club. But you know, no one looks like Ronald McDonald 24/7.
I thought you meant he was wearing like the red velvet suit with the white trim and.
I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe he is.
Is the trim ermine?
Yeah.
I just mean in the
traditional.
In the traditional thing, not that the costumes in the malls are pure velvet with ermine. That's where the store keeps.
There must be one Santa who dresses that classy. There must be one store that has a Santa that is that classy.
Yeah.
Full on. Like if you had a Tiffany Santa, he'd be like that.
Liberace Claus.
Oh,
that's who that would. Because he's dead? Is that what you're telling me? Too soon?
No, I'm thinking like Liberace must have had some great parties. Like a Liberace Christmas party would have been. Oh, Liberace Halloween.
He's always sad. He was always sitting in the corner going, I wish my brother George were here.
Well, invite him.
I don't know why he
was. His brother dead?
I don't know.
I think his brother was around. Just bring George on.
Yeah,
it's sad if he's dead.
I learned that from cartoons.
At least they're together now, I assume. I don't know. Is George still. We should check in on how George Liberace is.
George Liberace's doing.
Yeah.
Did you know Liberace successfully sued a British magazine for implying that he was gay? A British newspaper in the 50s?
Okay. That doesn't surprise me. He had a lot of money. And newspapers did not back then, unless you were, owned by the Hearst Media.
Well, British.
Hearst? Am I getting that right? Hearst. I used to work for that company. I should know.
You should know that.
Yeah. When I worked on Popular Mechanics for Kids, we worked for that company. I worked for the Citizen Kane company.
In England, it's different than here. Here, if you want to sue someone for libel or for defamation of character, you have to prove that you are not what they're saying.
Ah.
In England, it's up to the journalist to prove that they are.
Sounds better.
So that sounds better to you?
Yeah, the journalist has to prove. Like I could go, you like to punch puppies. Mm-hmm. I should have to prove that. You should not have to disprove that you are a puppy puncher. I think that's fair. Isn't that fair? Dave, you punch puppies. That destroys your career as a dog walker, right? Yeah. I've destroyed you now.
It makes it difficult for the truth to come out too in terms of politics, because you can have rumors that aren't substantiated. And if you wrote them out, if you wrote that Mayor Ford, for instance, was smoking crack,
right,
you'd have to prove that he was smoking crack.
Right, but it's
not enough that there's,
Right, but here's what you can say legally, is there's someone who says they have a video of the mayor smoking crack. You don't say the mayor smoking crack.
Yeah.
You say someone says they have a video, and you can prove that they have said that. That is true.
Yeah.
That is truth. You put that out there.
No, that's right.
Make your own connections. Right. I think that's fairer than...
But that gives a great deal of deniability to...
Do you think it's better than to be able to, for reporters to be able to make up stuff? Like, because some are going to, right? So you either err on the side of reporters who are padding the truth, or reporters having a harder time accessing the truth. One of the two has to exist. And I would prefer
the former to the latter.
Would you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, which was the former again? I don't remember my own argument. So anyway,
No, your former was, would you prefer them making up the news?
You would prefer that.
I would prefer
that. So someone implying someone is a killer and destroying their life, or maybe not being able to out someone who is a killer, who then gets to go and kill. That's right. But you would...
Which
again,
is worse?
Well, I don't know. It depends how many...
And which is more common? I mean, if you had that situation... Do you think it would be more common for the journalist
to lie? Yeah, I do.
Or more common for
I don't think it's more common for the journalist to lie.
Yeah.
I think it's more common for the journalist to start that snowball going down the hill.
Mm-hmm.
I think then you end up in the situation with, the recent bombers where they went, oh, those are the guys. And then you're on the cover of the New York Post going, these are the guys. And it's like, no, they're not the guys.
Yeah.
And you're going to run into that. I think with your 24-hour news cycles.
Maybe that's more of a risk now, because I'm thinking in terms of print media.
Right.
And I'm thinking in terms of England, and I'm thinking in terms of satirical, investigative news magazines like Private Eye.
That's a very different situation.
Really walked the line between, there's often cases where they looked at a story and went with a gut feeling
right.
of if it's true or not.
But there wasn't a super fast turnaround with those as there is right now.
It was bi-weekly.
Right.
So, yeah.
I mean, you've got people trying to fill all the space in the world. So it's like, is this, something happened. Who's to blame? Perhaps this person, but you maybe not.
Yeah.
But we're gonna out them as the person who's the perhaps, and then the media can't help but try them in the court of public opinion. Yeah. Now their life's screwed, at least for X amount of time. Then you're the Olympic. Olympic guy who got accused of that.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Well, no, maybe. I mean, yeah, maybe you're right. I mean, when I'm thinking about it, I'm not thinking about it in terms of the kind of mass media, mass proliferation of information that we live in now with internet and things like that. Where it's just so much misinformation just running everywhere.
Because they need to fill an infinite amount of time.
Yeah, and it's not even necessarily done in a bad way. They're not trying to be malicious. They're just trying. Yeah.
It's the worst things in the world are happening from people not being malicious.
Are you saying the road to hell is paved with Great Expectations?
No, I say the road to hell is paved with shortcuts. That's what it is.
Yeah,
it's like going like, listen, I gotta get this on the air. Like now it's weird. Like we now have a new, I think it's global 24 hour. Like it's the global network.
CTV.
Is it CTV that has the,
they started a new.
Yeah. And it's just like, they don't have enough news at all. Like
isn't there already a CBC News World channel?
Yeah, there is. But CBC News World.
I've heard of one in the States called CNN.
Okay. What's that stand for?
Central News Network.
For your neighbors.
What's it called, sorry?
For your neighbors. News for your neighbors.
News for your neighbors?
Come here. It's news for your neighbors.
NFN.
Right. So, Here's the thing with the news, they don't have enough news. That's it. They got 24 hours worth of space to fill, and so much of it is what I see in the morning when I watch the news, and I can't watch the news because they just like are yapping to each other about, how was your weekend? Pretty good. Well, I don't need this for news. What are you doing?
1 second. I'm just going to edit this in back a little bit. Continually no news.
Okay.
Okay, I'm just going to edit that. So.
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. That's fine.
Okay, go on. Sorry I interrupted you.
No, it's fine. I'm trying to do a joke about the Wrath of Khan with CNN, spelling Khan, but I can't do it, so I'm not going to do it. Anyway.
Khan?
Exactly. But no, whenever I watch the morning news, and I think I've talked about this before, but you got like that guy, Steve Darling, here in town, and he just always seems uncomfortable in his clothes. Like, he never seems to be wearing an outfit that he feels comfortable in. And then there's a lady next to him who never seems to like him, and he's really trying to make her like him, and just like, so what do you think of that? And she's just like, I don't know. Like, there's a lot of that. Like, a lot of, do you like feeding the geese at the beach?
Mm-hmm.
No, not really. I'm not really up for that. Okay. It's just like a date that's gone bad. And they're waiting for the dessert and they're just playing it out.
Yeah.
And then it gets even worse. They all go to this couch and they sit with like the weather person and the sports dude.
They sit on a couch?
Yeah. A round couch. And the ladies are all wearing skirts. So they've got to like be real tight legged and they're being real careful. And it's just like, put a fucking like table in front of them and some things and it's always weird, they always have newspapers there too, and it's just like, maybe I should just be reading the newspaper if that's where you're getting this from. That's a strange damn thing.
Maybe better if they're just sitting there reading the paper.
Yeah, you never
have... it's just quiet. It's just this quiet 5 minutes of them
and just them going, sort of,
oh, Luann.
And you never see, like, in a newspaper, you never open it up, see that picture of the reporter. You never see them watching TV in their picture. But, yeah, for some of them. Anyway, they're all sitting around in the
couch. Speaking of Luann.
Okay, sorry, Luann's, everybody. This is our regular segment, Luann Chat.
Luann's brother, Brad, was proposed to by the lady. By Tony. Yeah.
I never read that strip. I went and they had a free paper at the cafe.
Yeah.
I read that and I went, oh, there you go. You're maturing the characters.
It's become my, for better or worse.
You know? Okay.
Because it tells a story.
Right. They're aging. The characters are aging.
Yeah, it's serialized. It tells a story and it has a little bit of a joke every week.
Though you got to kind of now
go. Not a hilarious joke.
Right, I understand. Here's my problem. How old are these characters now? Is Luann in her last year of high school?
Yeah, they're just starting to look at going to college and things like that.
Oh, they're going to do that. They're actually going to break out and they're going to go to college. Yeah. What about all those amazing teacher characters?
What do you mean? You miss Bernice's, here's the thing. She went to apply for a position as doing a course on becoming a counselor.
Right.
And her enemy, arch enemy, the former counselor of high school, is the teacher in this class.
What a world.
What a thing. This was after she had just a disastrous trip to get your interview.
Now, is there anyone dead in Gasoline Alley yet? I know they were all like aging in real time for a while, and now I think like Walt is seriously 125. Yeah,
it's called Gasoline Button now, and they're just going backwards. They're no longer aging. They're
reversing. I think what you're going to find out is that they all died in World War I. Something happened, and then this is just their afterlife playing out.
Gasoline Ladder.
Yeah, sure. There you are. Well done. Yeah, it's strange. Like, I used to really kind of be fascinated by the idea of like real time aging. Mm-hmm. Real time aging always seems like a good idea.
Then you started to actually experience it in real life. lost its magic.
They did that with the John Constantine character in DC Comics.
Okay,
they had him age in real time from the day Alan Moore brought him in and Swamp Thing, and then they didn't know what to do, and then they just like killed him off, and now he's been rebooted, and now he's in the regular universe and hanging around with everybody.
That's a character from the comic book Serge Blazer, right?
Serge, I don't get the reference.
Okay.
Red Serge? Are you flipping around the Red Surge? Is that because it's the anniversary Surge of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, 140th anniversary?
Exactly.
That's Dave's tribute, Surge Blazer.
Surge is a type of material.
Yes.
And a blazer is a type of jacket.
Okay.
That's all it was.
But it also was a lovely tribute to our men in red.
It was a tribute. It was 140th anniversary.
Right.
That's true.
Because you know what? We learned nothing from the Revolutionary War. We never learned nothing about redcoats in the woods getting shot at by the Americans.
The Surge.
We decided, screw you. We're all going to still be wearing red.
Those were their official, like their dress uniforms. They weren't their daily working uniforms.
Oh, no. In a normal outfit for a RCMP officer, they dress like Wolverines.
They dress like
in furs.
And
ermine. Yes. They all dress in ermine.
They all wear ermine.
Yeah.
Ermine gowns.
That's right.
It's a very chichi police force.
Yeah. That's what everyone says about the RCMP. They're very chichi. Once again, a lovely tribute to our men in uniform. 140th.
I was going to say men and ladies in uniform. Have you ever seen the RCMP musical ride?
Have I? Yes. You can't not. If you're Canadian, you don't get health care unless you've watched the ride at least five times. You get your passport five stamped.
Times. I've seen it a couple times.
Yeah, how many times? Five?
Twice.
What? How did you get health care?
I don't know, Latin immigrant, I guess.
Oh, that's true.
We have different rules.
Yeah, that is true. All right.
We fall under different...
Is there any excuse, like you're part American? Mm-hmm. I think your left side is American.
That's true. So left toe.
Yeah, you can only get treatment for anything that happens on your right side. Mm-hmm. Is there any excuse in America?
There's no excuse for me.
Very good. But for where people go in a circle on horses, is there any of that business? Is there a reason they do that there, like we do here?
Custer's last stand.
Okay.
Celebrating the glorious moment in history. I don't know. I don't. Theodore Roosevelt's Rough Riders. Would that be?
Wow, you're going older and older. Like,
oh, you asked me for some historical
Rough
thing.
Rough Riders.
What is this supposed to be? Some kind of thing from last year? I don't know. Well, here, how Lindsay Lohan's leaving the club in her Corvette.
You're a member of a secret society. I know a lot of people don't like to talk about this in public, but I'm going to. I'm going to out you. Called Pony Club. Okay.
Yes,
now,
okay.
Pony Club is not a Canadian organization solely. It's got American roots. Now, I'm assuming that you are connected to the world of horses and people on horses doing things you would not normally do on horses, such as jumping over things and going in circles.
That's things people normally do on horses.
But the nature does not say, go in a circle on a horse. Do not jump over this on a horse. There's nothing natural about this.
But if nature didn't say it, then why are we doing it?
Because we're not centaurs.
But not to say, why aren't we doing it? I say, why are we doing it? Like, if nature
didn't
tell
us. We do a lot of stuff that nature doesn't tell us to do. We made that Lick-A-Made stuff, that powder in a pack. Nature had nothing to do with that shit, you know?
What?
Oh, peachy candies.
Who are you blaming horse riding on? Satan?
I'm not blaming. There's no blame. Okay. I'm just saying natural about riding on a horse and
apparently
going on a musical ride.
Here's what's natural about riding on a horse.
On a musical ride.
Human beings are incredibly lazy.
Right.
There is some poor defenseless animal that we could jump on its back and ride around.
Okay.
And there you go.
Fantastic.
Take it from there.
Let me counter that completely. Thank you for the softball. Let me hit it over the fence.
Okay.
Humans are lazy. How hard is it to do that musical fucking ride? Like how much practice do you need? So you're taking the laziness out of it.
Yeah.
I'm saying that's unnatural. It's unnatural to do a musical ride.
I guess.
With sticks pointed at each other and then you go in a circle while music plays.
Well, yeah. I mean, we do seek efficiency of some sort, though.
How is it efficient to go in a circle?
I don't...
You go nowhere!
That's different. Like, there's two... We have this dual element to our natures, right?
Okay.
As humans. We have this need to be practical and to be
survival.
Efficient. And, you know, when you invent a car, you don't need horses.
Right.
And when you invent a better car, you don't need those old kind of cars.
Right.
And when you invent a floating car, you don't need car tires anymore.
Okay.
But then
have
this
done
other
that?
Side of us.
That'd be cool if we had.
We have this other side of us that needs to express ourselves.
Right.
And if that's riding around in an elaborate, circles around each other and crossing each other's paths back, for 5 minutes while music plays, we will do it.
Yes, we will.
We will do it.
I think we've proven that we will.
Yeah.
Once again, 140th anniversary, everybody, of RCMP.
140th anniversary.
No, I
used
think
to be on our $50 bill.
Yes.
We used to have the most beautiful $50 bill. It was red.
Right.
It had a bright green background.
Beautiful.
With the RCMP musical ride, all the horses standing in a circle with them pointing their lances.
At an immigrant and saying, get out.
Get out. Are we that unwelcoming? I guess that's why they got rid of that $50 bill.
Well, you couldn't. That was the thing was, we were saying that, but we knew they couldn't get out because we're in a circle around them. That's our way of saying, but if you can't, welcome to Canada.
It's more of our dual nature as human beings.
Absolutely it is.
Yeah,
dig a hole and make a house. That's how we forced immigrants to build homes. We would surround them and go, you're not going nowhere. They'd have to dig a hole and they'd make a house.
Is that out of the sod that they took out of the ground?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's in our national anthem.
I'm learning a whole new thing.
Oh, say can you sod?
That's the American anthem.
No, it isn't. That's oh, say can you see. Oh, say can you sod is not the American national anthem.
Okay.
What national anthem are you talking about? You know they changed the Canadian national anthem. That was in the original lyrics. You do know they changed the Canadian national anthem. They did. The lyrics were changed. It all used to be about bricklaying.
Yes. I didn't realize that.
Yes.
Because I'm three quarters American.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why you can only get treatment. We've gone over this.
Yeah.
We've dealt with this.
Yeah. I just want to shift gears entirely.
Well, that's good because we've run out of road.
I broke the. I can still ride. We can still ride our horses.
It's too bad.
Let's take a nice canter through the woods. We'll leave the road.
Okay.
And we're just going to go through into the woods.
Wait a minute. I'm going to the second location. I've heard something about this. What was it?
What second
location? Always go with an adult to the second location. Yeah. Okay. Let's go in the woods.
I'm an adult.
All right.
So I don't know if you remember a few weeks back we had a guest on the show. Her name was Joanna Gaskell.
Yes, that's very true.
And we were talking about web series.
Right. Are you going to mention that she's done quite well with the thing that she was plugging?
No, you bring it up because I...
Let me cover this ground first. She was here with her Kickstarter campaign for Standard Action Season 3. And did they meet their goal?
Did they meet it?
Hells yes. Did they go beyond it? Hells yes. And they had actually met it by the time we were
They were well over it. By the time I looked at it.
But you wanted to play it cool and not go... You don't want to be Scrooge McDuck because no one wants to give you a couple of bucks. But yeah, and she's given a lot of great premiums to all the people that donated.
Nice.
If you haven't watched Standard Action, go check it out. And their third season obviously is going to be coming out. But congratulations to her on more than meeting her goals for that series, one that well deserves it. Okay, and now back to Dave with his slagging.
Well,
the slagging dragon.
The slagging dragon. I'm not going to slag because... But I think I was kind
of... Should
I
have said sneaky slagging everybody? Should I have done that instead? I've got regrets. Moving on.
Sleeky slagging.
Sure.
Because I'm very sleek.
Yep. And you have a speech impediment. It only lets you say it that way. It's adorable. Only you get treated, but it's on the wrong side of your mouth. It's on the Yankee side.
It was because of an accident with a slorkel.
Okay.
So...
I'm leaving you some space now to talk without my bullshit.
Okay.
Please continue.
So, I don't know if you remember the show. No, we can dialogue.
I am, but I want you to set up whatever you're going to set up.
Because I think I was a bit ambivalent about web series. And the...
No, I think what you said was, I watched all the rest that weren't yours, and they all stunk.
Well, that I'd seen. Because, I kind of went through, people would say, well, you should see this, you should see that.
Right, right.
And stuff. And it all seemed to me like most of the ones I watched were, superheroes in a boardroom. And you know what I mean?
Let me play out how I saw it. You were saying to her, I really liked your, it's a compliment I get sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I'll explain why it's an awkward one. Where it was like, oh, I really liked your stuff. I watched the other ones that were in your category and I didn't like them. But of course, those are people that are her friends. So it's tough. It's just after I do a comedy show, someone comes up to me and goes, you were great. Those guys blew, and I can't it taints it for me because I know those guys and I know how hard they're working and I know blah blah blah, and it's fine to have that opinion, but it's just like, ugh, I can't feel good about that. It's like, you're great, your sister sucks.
This is what you get for doing a show with a semi-autistic person. So if that's a problem, there's
semi-automatic, that's what they call them.
There was a recent thing going around on Facebook. It was like a test. You had to test your ability to read
faces.
Yeah, it was just eyes.
Okay.
And it would ask you for four different things. I could not figure it out at all. They all looked exactly the same to me. I could not see any difference between any of the eyes, particularly the women's eyes.
And then you found out they were all blind people
that's what it was. They're all expressing the fact that they can't see something.
Nothing. Yeah. No focus whatsoever.
It's unfocused. I did okay because I was just guessing like mad. But so you have an option to get like a certain amount right.
Right.
But I could not figure out what any of those eyes were saying.
Okay. It's tough too when they're still.
They're still and all you can see are the eyes.
Just the eyes. Well, what the hell is that about?
Yeah, I couldn't see the mouth.
Ah, boo to that.
So I don't know if they're frowning or if they're smiling.
No, heck with that. That's weird.
But anyway, so I know I felt kind of awkward talking about that. But when someone comes on that's involved in that world of web series and stuff like that,
right.
I just want to talk about my feelings.
And feel free, go right ahead. Absolutely.
So I don't want to be awkward.
No, but it's like when you're talking about someone's friends, it's tough to go like, your band's great, their band stinks.
I shouldn't have gone that close to home in what I was saying, but I just
I'm
feel
sure
like
she was fine and she laughed
I
it
just,
off.
I just feel like
not the first time, not the last time for hearing that.
And I mean, they put a lot of work into Standard Action.
Sure do, yes.
And it really shows in the result, right? And I'm sure other shows do as well. I don't want to put people down for what they're attempting to try.
Oh, and there's no shortage of hard work and things that aren't great.
But what I feel is if everyone is plowing the same furrow, I'm not that interested. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, ask me how many shows I watch in space. I'm sure they play like more than...
Oh, Space, by the way, is our sci-fi channel.
Oh, sorry, yeah, on sci-fi. How many shows I watch? I watch one show.
Yeah, I pictured you just looking into space.
Sorry, on the Space Channel, how many TV shows? I watch one show. That's it.
And that show is?
Doctor Who.
I'm so sorry. It's been a rough season.
It's been a rough season, yeah.
Yeah, okay. But,
you know, I'm gonna hang in there because I'm a long-time watcher. And if you watch the old Doctor Who, they're also kind of rough. A lot of them.
Yeah, but it's in a bit of... We can talk about Doctor Who after.
Sure, sure. So, but here's the thing. Because my complaint wasn't that web series are bad or that, you know, it's dumb that there's this potential or this freedom for people.
Right.
But it's almost like there is this potential, there's this freedom, this unlimited possibilities, and yet everyone is all gearing it to the same small demographic of people. And maybe that's smart because computers, maybe they are a small narrow demographic of people who will be watching web series. And if you did a historical comedy, no one would want to watch it. Or if you did a modern Private Eye take, no one would be interested because, or even if you did a sitcom of a kind of standard style, nothing like, you know, not shocking or whatever, just very normal,
right,
but good. It just maybe wouldn't have the audience that you'd find in television because you have a narrower spectrum of people. I don't know.
Is there any difference between that and traditional television, as in, so you got it one sitcom that's doing well. Like, there's been times where sitcoms have not worked traditionally. Then one takes off all of a sudden. Like, I'm going to go way back, Dave style.
Okay.
traditional sitcoms weren't doing fantastic. The Cosby Show comes on. Everyone then apes that.
Yeah.
And then you get a whole bunch of Cosby clones going out.
But that sucks too, right?
No, I'm not saying it sucks. I'm just saying, is there any difference? It's like, if something has a little bit of heat, if they see like, oh, people are watching this Star Trek parody online, you're going to get a whole bunch of Star Trek parodies
because
they know that there'll be some market. If not, you will not get more of a market than the one that's successful, but you will be able to, like, you know, get a little taste of that.
Sure.
Which isn't a great business plan because you actually want to be more than that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, in the long run.
And I mean, but that would just be my complaint. It's not even that they're aping the Star Trek. It's just that there's 50 web series and 49 of them are science fiction shows, let's say. You know, and so for me, as someone who has a passing interest in science fiction,
right,
that is not that great. So that was just my feelings about it.
Well, it's tough too. Like, it's a bad way to watch things. It's like, if you watch something that's really good, like their, you know, fantasy-based series, and then, like, I'm going to watch four other fantasy-based series, I don't care if they're the greatest things in the world, you're going to be going, ugh, I'm done.
More elves?
Yeah, that's right. It's like, these are all about roadies. Okay. Well, that was good. And that's unfortunately the way that YouTube directs you sometimes. Is like, oh, you like this roadie thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll like more roadie things. Well, thank you, no imagination, YouTube. I understand what you're saying. But yeah, I mean, that's Netflix as well.
At least
American Netflix.
That would be a good web series, actually. It would be one called Roadies.
Oh, there is one. Chris Bono, a friend of mine, did one about that.
Okay, that'd be good. And you never see the band, just them.
I don't think you do see the band.
That would be
good.
I
think it's just him getting ready for gigs.
That sounds really good.
I will send you links.
Thanks. And we'll put it on the website.
You know what would be a good test for you is for you to say to me, hey, Ian, and give me three things. Maybe not right now, but as a test. And go like, you know what? Just make up three things that are just extreme. Like, there's nothing on the web that's funny about blank.
Yeah.
And just go, there's no one who's a rabbit farmer series. And I will try and find you a web series about a rabbit farmer.
Well, because I was kind of coming around to this.
Come around to your point. Come
which
around
is
the mountain
that,
when you come.
Millis recommended this to me
a few
months ago. My daughter, Millis.
Millis, fake name, Dedrick.
And actually, Millis was complaining the other day that we shortened her name, which, of course, is Millicent.
Right.
And because we shortened both the names as Millicent and
Phyllis. I thought it was Maleficent.
It's Millicent and Phyllicent.
Oh.
And not everyone knows that, but I've always shortened it.
I thought that was short for Phillips head screwdriver, your favorite screwdriver.
No, that is not my favorite screwdriver, sir.
Oh, what is it? Robertson?
A Robertson, of course.
I know, but you didn't have a boy.
That's the most efficient.
So what are you going to do? You're going to have to name her Phillips.
I'm not going a Phillips. No.
All right,
never.
Fair enough.
Never. I will not even name a child after a screwdriver if that's the case.
Except the
drink. That's how extremely I don't like the Phillips head screwdriver.
You know what? I've accepted your stern views on everything else, but you've gone too far, sir.
my usual rhetorical flourish.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
your point to be made.
Millis,
I will sit back and you will make your point, please.
Millis recommended a web series to me. This was a few months ago, but I just didn't have time to get into
it. For her yip-yap.
Well, I was...
Daughter, get out, you say.
You know, it's one thing to say, Dad, there's a great series, great web series on television, or in the community you should watch. Oh, and I also want you to watch all of Supernatural with me.
Okay,
that's, you know, I can't do two things, right?
Of course you can. One has handsome gentlemen, so you've got to go with that one.
One has handsome gentlemen, exactly.
I got to fight Satan. Better take off my shirt.
Oh, Dean. So then, I'm thinking about Dean now.
I know. You're ODing on Dean.
So, no, it was this web series called The Lizzie Bennet Diaries.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, that sounds interesting, because, you know, she's like, you would like it, of course, because it's based on
Pride and Prejudice.
Pride and Prejudice, okay, yeah.
Very good.
And so, and what it is it's different. Like, how long is a, I can't remember, it's like the usual standard action one's about 10 minutes long, right?
About that, yeah, sounds about right.
So these are a little shorter. They're about 3 to 4 minutes. And the idea of it is that it's this girl named Lizzie Bennet in a similar situation. It's contemporary.
Right.
In a similar situation, in a way, she's American, so it's not British, and she's in university or in college. She's a mass communications major, and she's doing a video blog for her project, for a year long video blog, with her friend Charlotte Liu. So she has a Chinese friend named Charlotte Liu, who kind of stands in for Charlotte Lucas from Pride and Prejudice.
Okay.
And then two of her sisters make it into the show. They drop two of the sisters that are in the book. There's five sisters in the book, which seems a little unrealistic in our world that there'd be five, a family with five kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's three.
Does she live in the city?
She lives somewhere in California in a kind of a, it sounds like kind of a suburban town that might be adjoining.
Probably that would be too many kids. Okay.
Yeah. So then, it tells the story, but from her perspective, of course, she's telling you, you know, in three to four minute pieces.
Right.
What happened to her that day, or what happened to her that part of the week? It was when it was released. It was done twice a week. But what was fascinating about it is, one, it's using that format of the video blog, like breaking it up so it's not telling you a whole story.
Mm-hmm.
Is that almost like comic books? You know, like when we were reading Watchmen when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
And
take a drink, everybody.
This is when we're teenagers. You would get the issue.
Right. And this is not before Watchmen.
And it was fast.
This is just Watchmen.
This is just Watchmen. And it was fascinating, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was full of so many clues and so many possibilities, but you had to wait a whole month before you'd see it again.
Right.
And so you would be thinking about it. You'd be living in that story. And it
coming up with theories.
It gave it more depth, right? It's kind of like I was reading someone, he was reading all of Cerebus in a sitting, basically. He read it very quickly.
Right.
And he was talking about in the beginning, like I think issue 12, there's the Jacka story. Cerebus meets Jacka.
Right.
50 issues later, she appears again. In comic book time, that was 5 years in mm-hmm. between her appearances. So it gave it a depth that wasn't really in the story. You see her once,
right,
and then she comes again while he's prime minister.
Also, the Jacka story was very impactful to a lot of people. That was where a lot of people got really hooked on Cerebus. Like, they liked the other stuff, mm-hmm. like as in you admire it,
yeah.
and it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
And then Jacka added that little bit more heart, and then people were like really invested in it.
But what's interesting is the character really didn't have much. It was only appeared once before and then right. appears 5 years later. But it gives it a sense of depth because of the time that's gone.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
And it's sort of the same with what's watching it as this web series, because you get, you know, 4 minutes one day and then you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
You're like, what's going to happen next? Like, you know, I kind of know the story already, but I'm curious how they're going to twist it, how they're going to, because there are some changes and they do throw some changes into it, and little bits, little things that, and
they're Game of Thrones-ing it.
And,
yeah.
And so then, and of course, because it's contemporary, it doesn't have that regency restraint. You know, Jane Austen grew up in a time when all people kept their emotions down.
Yeah.
You know,
in a box.
You were a person of sense, not a person of sensibility, right? A person of sense was reasonable and behaved in a rational manner, as opposed to some sort of person with sense, someone who was sensible, sensibility, who wanted to, you know, throw themselves off a cliff because something bad happened to them, right? So in Pride and Prejudice, a lot of the characters' reactions, you know, are very damped down because that's how you were then. You did not, you know, throw yourself on the floor and kick your feet up and down because you were jilted or something, right? Like Jane is by Bingley. So in the web series, when Jane is jilted by Bingley, when she breaks down and cries, it's very affecting. I was crying myself watching it. I cried a couple times watching it.
Nice so one.
I'm a bit of a sissy, but
no, that's effective with work. Good for them.
No, yeah, it's really.
And I think we learned from Star Trek: men cry now.
Oh, thank God.
And in the future, A lot.
Is that right?
A lot of crying. Yeah, everyone's crying. I can't say what happens in it, but there's a lot of people crying for reasons. Oh, okay. I can think of three dudes that cry.
Oh, that's right. Because, yeah.
Cry, cry, cry. Three, right off the top, crying.
Yeah.
That's also right. Some ladies
when
crying.
When he's dying, a tear comes down.
Okay, there we go. That's spoilery.
I didn't even say who was.
No. You just said he in Star Trek. Okay, there we go. Some characters may have problems. Death-wise. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Anyway, let's talk about the first movie.
Sure.
Star Trek 1.
Yeah, the voyage here.
Voyage there.
Yeah. Star Trek, there.
So I really like that. I really like how it worked. Like, it's almost a different media in that way. Do you know what I mean? It's serialized in a different way than you'd have in television, for instance. Where television, almost by accident, I guess, you know, even if the story has a continuing story, they tend to wrap up each episode in a way. Mm-hmm. There's a story arc to the episode, and then there's the overarching arc that can use whether you're watching Supernatural or whatever, you know, or Buffy, or, you know, shows that had like story, you know, kind of long season, long story arcs. There were still shows that were individually wrapped up within that.
Right.
And this is a little different, you know, because it's so short, and you're getting it from in these little doses of information. It was interesting.
And what was it called again, sir?
The Lizzie Bennett Diaries.
All right, we're going to put up some links.
Yes, well, we certainly will. And I'm trying to get my daughters to watch it with me because I want to watch it again.
Okay.
But I just can't justify to myself sitting down and watching something I've already watched. So, but if I can watch it with them, then I can easily justify my watching it again.
It's one of the nice things about, like on the PlayStation now, they got a YouTube app on there and I can watch.
Yes. Does it work very well?
Oh, it works good, actually.
Because the one on, like, I have a Blu-ray player that has it as an option as well. You can go to YouTube.
Yeah.
But the problem is it never plays them in the proper order.
Oh, like, if you watch that's a problem. I was just, like, impressed lately with how the picture looks.
Yeah, no,
like,
it does look pretty good.
I got a good-sized TV, yeah. And it actually looks, like, I'm watching the old Mystery Science Theater shorts now, you know, because those are nice to watch in little 5 or 6 minute increments.
For sure.
Yeah, but it's like, well, it's pretty good. But yeah, you're right. It's hard to get them in the correct order. You want to load them up correctly and line them up. Play this, now play this, now play this, now play this.
Because they really, that's the next thing. They have it, like it has a channel. And so it shows you the last one. You can click on, it shows you the last one. It shows you the next one. And then, it flows from each to each. So if you watch a few in a row, then you can just watch them and you don't have to go back and click on something.
Well, let me say this to Dave's daughters. Watch them with your dad. These are precious days. Watch them with your dad.
That's right. Don't spend your time in your room watching
and
movies.
And I'm going to say this to our listeners. If you want to dress up like one of Dave's daughters and just go over to Dave's house and watch it with him, he might be into that.
I would appreciate it.
But you have to every so often go, oh, Papa, it makes me so sad.
Makes me so sad. Are my kids a little
No, this is foreign. A weird foreign dude that likes dressing up and coming to your place.
Coming to my place.
Yeah.
I do appreciate him coming over quite often, actually. Yeah. He's there quite a bit.
His real name is Pepe. So Pepe. It's weird because he calls you Papa, and that's Pepe. And it's like, Pepe? Yes, Papa?
Actually, he's been there for so long, we call him Pepito now.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, he's little Pepe.
Apparently, Peyo, the Smurf guy, has something. There's something out by him now, some sort of comedy thing. I just read about that. I gotta follow up on that with you. I can't say any more about that story. But
he's dead.
Yeah, but I think it's an old thing of his that they're now re-releasing.
Pierre Culliford.
That's supposed to be hilarious. That's all I'm saying. I'll find it for you.
Okay. Okay.
Now, when you're talking about like watching things in order, have you heard how they're going to be doing the Arrested Development thing on Netflix?
Just putting it all out there, aren't they?
They're putting it all out there. I believe there's 15 of them. Mm-hmm. But they're all, I believe, like, they all cover a character or something that. So there's a lot of them that take place not one after the other, but at the same time.
Sure.
So one character walks behind the other, and then you see what happens in the next one and the next one. You can watch them all individually.
That seems accurate, because I think that's how time is.
Time does work that way.
Time is everything happening at once.
And it all is
it's not linear.
Slipping into the future.
It's not linear. It's everything happens at the same time, in the same instant.
Fly like an eagle. But not like the Eagles, the band, because Dave hates those sons of bitches.
Fly like an eagle is Steve Miller.
Yeah, I know, but the Eagles are a band.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I know, you're not Steve Miller bashing.
Yeah, I don't know.
In fact, Dave's wearing a shirt now saying it's Miller time, with a picture of Steve Miller on it.
Take the money and run, it says, underneath it. Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was just because you liked the Woody Allen movie.
I also like that. That's the first Woody Allen movie I saw.
Right, which is why you took the Woody Allen shirt and altered it to look like Steve Miller.
Yeah.
Dave does a lot of that. He just like rejiggers his shirts.
Yep, just like the title cards for Sneaky Dragon. It's just it's an outcropping of that original T-shirt reorienting.
That's right.
A hobby.
But I do like the idea with the Arrested Development thing that this might be how you watch a TV season now, is not necessarily this starts, this ends, but we'll fill you in more, or we'll run them in different orders or what have you. And I love the idea of like the whole thing being out there at once. Mm-hmm. That's great. Mm-hmm. You know, not having to go, oh, maybe it'll get picked up, maybe it won't. Nah, no, just the whole thing, accept it or don't. Boom, there you are.
Yeah. Oh, and then one other thing with Lizzie Bennet Diaries, okay. In terms of accuracy to Pride and Prejudice, which it does change the ending quite a bit, mm-hmm. because the ending is old-fashioned.
You stand up and go, sacrilege!
No one just gets married and becomes a wife now, right? Like, that's just not how...
They don't?
Culture.
Well, no. What's the problem with getting married and becoming a wife?
Well, just becoming like a housewife.
Oh, you mean
like
a housewife? Because most people who do get married, if they're ladies,
I didn't mean
do
that
become
way,
a
but,
wife.
But yeah, I meant become a housewife. Like, you know, your life doesn't just become an adjunct to your husband, who is...
Okay.
So they kind of...
Unless you're rich. Unless he's a richy, rich Ron Richington.
and
most people in Pride and Prejudice are pretty rich, right?
No, the Bennets aren't wealthy in the story. I mean, they're not poor. Poor, like, they're not, like, obviously not servants.
But right.
They're not really wealthy people. They are. That's why there's the conflict between Darcy and Elizabeth.
Very
he
good.
Looks down on them because he has 10,000 a year, and they do not. And in fact, they're... on very thin ice, because if their father dies, they can no longer live in their house.
Right, which is on a lake, which is on thin ice.
Well, no, because the house is...
It's about global warming, as far as I understand.
In those days, your property could be entailed to the next male heir. And since they are all sisters, the next male heir is their cousin.
Okay.
And so when their father dies, they would have to leave so their cousin could take over the house.
By the way, did any other podcast use the term entailing? No? Well, then I guess we win. You might think other ones are better, have better guests. You might think others are funnier. But do they use words like entailing? Nope. They do not. So there you go. Tip of the hat to ourselves. And back to you, David.
So,
well, we're talking about Pride and Prejudice. Again, back to David.
So I was just going to say that one of the failings that I've noticed in movies and TV versions of Pride and Prejudice.
Okay.
Is that everyone has a very hard time.
We, by the way, should just do a full episode on Pride and Prejudice and get it all out. Like, one episode should just be all Pride and Prejudice.
I think we need one other. Have you read it?
No, but I would for that.
Oh, okay, okay.
If we're planning like a special anniversary, maybe for our second year anniversary. We're planning something for our 100th.
Yeah.
But like, we haven't planned anything for our second year anniversary. Yeah. Maybe we'll do a Pride and Prejudice full episode.
I would love it.
Maybe we'll try and find an actor from one of the movies.
Sure.
We'll come in or someone who's doing a play.
Sure.
Someone who knows the work back and forth. But please continue, David.
Well, one of the problems they have, of course, because your lead actress is Elizabeth. In the book, Jane is described as being much better looking than Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. Now, you try and sell that to your lead actress. I know we hired you for Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. We're going to get a really gorgeous lady to play Jane. Mm-hmm. I know she's a minor character and that you're the really important one, yet she's much better looking. It seems to have been a hard sell through the years. I don't know why.
I don't know. Isn't that the case with most like comedy type things, though? You want your main lady to be attractive. But then you want the va-va-va-voom to come in, don't you?
But Pride and Prejudice
and just
isn't
like
really
the
comedy.
The main lady is like, oh boy, I look like a mop a bucket of boo.
The one thing is, when people do Pride and Prejudice, they tend to overlook the social commentary aspect of it and concentrate on the romantic part of the story, which isn't really that important to Austen. Right. Like, the romantic stuff that happens is more of an excuse for her to make jokes and have funny characters show up and make comments on, you know, that particular time period.
You have now made me think of what I want to do with this Pride and Prejudice thing. I'm going to pitch this to David right now. When you're saying the social commentary,
okay.
I would like to see, we could play a movie, whatever one of the Pride and Prejudices you like the best.
Okay.
You choose it.
Okay.
And then we do a social commentary track. And just you talking through the whole thing.
Okay.
About like what you think and what you this and do what you don't understand about this and do this and do that.
That'd be interesting.
There you are.
That'd be interesting.
Then we put that up.
But what's nice about Lizzie Bennet Diaries is...
All right, here we go back to that.
Jane is a very beautiful woman, and more beautiful than her sister Elizabeth, which is accurate.
Okay.
I mean, Elizabeth is not ugly or anything.
No.
I mean, she's still a very attractive woman. But in the story, what makes Elizabeth attractive to Darcy is that she will not suck up to him. Mm-hmm. She does not condescend.
Kowtow.
Yeah, like, you watch people react to Darcy. Of course, he has 10,000 a year.
He has 10,000. They don't ever say what. It turns out to be badgers. He has 10,000 badgers a year.
They do say 10,000 pounds.
And that is where she says the line back to him, we don't need no stinking badgers.
That's where that line comes from. Exactly. So, you know, like, you watch Bingley's sister Carolyn. I know you're loving that joke.
I am loving. I'm just picturing that him working as a lawyer and badgering the witness.
Just pelting him with badgers?
Yeah.
Okay.
As you could do back then.
Oh, it was totally illegal. In terms of legal maneuvers, that was okay. It was also okay to goose the person on the stand as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you could goose them by pushing a goose towards them.
Yep.
There's lots of things you could do then. You're trying to think of another one, aren't you?
I'm trying to think of a joke based on pate. But please, continue. Take a gander at this evidence. No, okay, go ahead.
In the book, she's not... you see Carolyn Bingley, she's always sucking up. She's, oh, Mr. Darcy, you have beautiful handwriting. Oh, I love your sister. Give my kindest regards to your sister who's so... I love
the
design.
She was the Eddie Haskell of her day.
Exactly. But that's how Darcy's approached by everyone. And here comes this little saucebox who will not, will not say nice things to him, will not suck up to him. And he's just like, I'm fascinated by this woman.
It seems like the basis of every modern romantic comedy.
It certainly became, but like
except,
I say.
Except any romantic comedy nowadays would have to have the lady falling down. Because you got to have that.
Of course.
The lady has to fall down because she's a pretty lady. Got to fall down because we got to let go. Well, you fall down, so that's okay.
There is a scene.
You notice that? Watch any trailer, by the way, to any romantic comedy. Lady fall down. Always.
Does that the sound effect happen when she does it?
No, because they just smash cut to whatever's next.
Okay.
They don't have time for that nowadays to go boing and react to things.
I guess not.
Yeah.
I was going to say one other thing, but now I can't remember what it was, so it doesn't really matter. Oh, but the other thing, the interesting thing about Pride and Prejudice is that most of the pivotal scenes you weren't there for. They were described to us in letters.
Oh, okay.
Or they come to us, because, like I say, the story was not that important to Austen. What she was more interested in was the social elements of what she was writing about.
Could you then
do
a Pride and Prejudice that's just those things you did not see? That were just described, and you don't do any of the things that you have in Pride and Prejudice?
It's called
just that.
It's called the 1995 version. Because that one is very spelled out. Everything that's told in letters
now,
is also
in that
out.
Version.
That's a Colin Firth, Jennifer Ely.
Now,
Ely
is that version, your favorite version?
No, it's not.
Okay, what is your favorite version?
Probably the 1984 version, which was, it's a bit cheaper. It was done, on a budget. Like there's a big scene where they're dancing in a ballroom, which is a totally black floor, and you can tell it's in a studio. It's BBC studio floor. And because they can't afford to do any foleying or anything or any extra, audio dubbing.
Right.
And so it has to be mic'd for the actors and stuff like that. You just hear all the swishing of the dresses on the floor.
Well, the sad thing, too, is because it was BBC, they didn't have a lot of money. They had to double up with Doctor Who so you can see a Dalek in the
that's
background.
Right. That's the other
because they're shooting in the other half of the room.
That's right. Peter Davidson does run through at one point in the in that series.
Which is fine for him because it just looks like a period piece to him. It just looks like he's running through time. No, problem with that.
But just bar none, that has been the actress, I think her name is... I can't remember her name now. Sorry. Something Garvey.
You know what? This has been a show of us forgetting shit. And me not forgetting shit, but you saying to me, hey, you trying to think of something? Hey, you, with that blank look on your face that no one could see. Let me call you on that. Hey, you thinking of a joke? Hey, jokey? It's like, yes, that's what I do with the show. I try to think of gags. Why are you calling me on it?
That's my job on the
show. Hey, funny guy. What are you doing?
I'm here to call you on
making things. Jokes?
You don't understand my role in the show?
Okay.
I can't remember. It's something Garvey, but she is the best. She has been the best Elizabeth because not only she, and that's one of the shows that has a better looking Jane as well.
Okay.
So they kept it very accurate, but she sings and plays piano really, really well. For some reason, other shows, they decided not to hire an actress who could sing and play piano. So she makes a point of that I'm not very good at it and doesn't play very well. But in the book, she's described as being very good.
They didn't have recordings of that in that era, did they? They wouldn't have.
No, no,
we're
no.
Not there.
No, no, no.
Well, then people don't know what's good singing. They have no idea.
Yes, they do.
They just hear people singing and just like, I assume that's what singing should sound like. Someone just goes on the piano, bunk, dunk, dunk. They've never heard good piano, so who would know
they have,
that it's not?
But they can hear Elizabeth sing, and then they can hear her sister Mary sing.
Right.
And then they know the difference between
maybe
good singing
they do,
and bad
maybe
singing.
They just go, man, that one sounds a bit smoother. Who knows? I don't know what this is supposed to sound like because I have no record albums. How would I know?
You're silly.
I have no clue. Speaking of Peter Davidson,
yes,
I'm going to turn this car towards Doctor Who.
Okay, sure.
Just because, we're running, time. We're not, unlike Doctor Who, we're not immortal. This season of Doctor Who just wrapped up. We're going to do a little spoilers right now, everybody.
Yeah, so
a little spoiler space.
If you haven't seen it, you can just keep listening because it's not worth seeing.
And if you have watched the season, it has been spoiled. I like me a Doctor Who. I like me a Matt Smith. I got no problem with the lead actress. But this season has been a letdown. Why is it a letdown for you, David? It sounds like it is.
Agree with you. And I think the biggest reason is that none of the shows feel like they're finished.
I would agree with that.
Like every time you watch one, you're like, did no one edit this script? It just feels like someone did a first draft.
Sent or did they in. Edit too much and cut out maybe a couple of the points?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. That's another possibility. But I mean, even that's bad editing too then. I mean, it just feels like it was not sensibly...
Everything... All right, here's what it feels like to me. Every one of the ideas for this... And it's not been a long season, but every one of the ideas seems like a legitimate good idea for a plot.
Sure.
And then it's like, well, we can't fulfill the premise. Like, we can't make it interesting enough. You know, we've got a Cold War submarine.
Okay.
Okay, let me pick out the Neil Gaiman one. That's the easiest one, because it was pretty recent. You've got for no reason, you got this Clara character, bless her heart.
And she tries.
And the gimmick behind it is he's seen her die twice, and now she's in modern day. He's trying to figure her out. Mm-hmm. And so the overarching story is, what's the deal with her? So, but what you end up getting through most of the season is nothing about that. And then the last second, you know, I wonder what the deal with her is. The end. That's it.
Yeah.
Like nothing. And you're like, well, this is not necessary.
But they kind of did that with the Amy Pond
season. A bit. They had the little crack, and they show the crack, and they have the crack, which is bugging me too, because we've been through this before. And the problem with Stephen Moffat ends of seasons is you can try and figure out stuff in Doctor Who, but it doesn't matter because we're just going to make some shit up at the end that have nothing to do, and we're going to reveal facts that you never know. Don't try to solve a mystery because you can't, because we haven't given you all these characters or they're the characters that actually make the mystery. So, ba-ba-da-bo. There's no point in trying to figure it out, and because of that, it makes all the episodes annoying.
Well, I think we all agree that we're tired of the Moffat show. It's time to get... I was trying to think of something Doctor Who-ish, but I couldn't. Sorry. It's time to fly the TARDIS.
There you go. Keep going.
I'm not going to go on. So
it's time to fight the Daleks.
I actually like...
It's time to meet the Cybermen on the Moffat show tonight.
I like Stephen Moffat. Like, I really like his ideas.
I do, too.
But what my biggest complaint about this show is...
The ideas are great.
The ideas are always great.
Boom. Great ideas.
But what I don't... And I even sort of enjoyed the last episode. I did feel like it tied up things well and that explained things. The problem is it over-explains things. Is you have all these scenes of people standing absolutely still, talking, or exclaiming very loudly how they're feeling at that moment or what is happening to them at that moment.
Okay, I'm going to go with that episode, and we'll talk Neil Gaiman after.
The audience is so dumb that they don't know what's happening. So someone has to stand there and say, she's still alive because I'm still here. Oh.
Okay. Here's a problem that they had with the last episode. You had the main character flashback to all the other doctors. Mm-hmm. And when you see all the other doctors, shit's going down. This guy's running.
Yeah.
This guy's in a car. Yeah. This guy's, something's happening. This guy's hanging from this. This guy's trapped under some glass. Mm-hmm. Like, holy shit, stuff happens to every doctor except the one we're at now, who has to stand around and yap a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you've just showed me the show used to be better, you fools. Don't do that. Yeah. It's like showing me a clip of original Star Wars in the middle of, like, a Phantom Menace. Now I'm really mad because I realize what it used to be. Don't do that. Boo, boo, boo. But okay, let's go to that, and then we'll do a little bit of Neil Gaiman, and then we'll wrap up.
Okay.
So the gimmick behind this was the doctor, there's a hole in time where he died or some such, and the bad guy goes into the hole, it was scar tissue, space-time scar tissue, goes back into the doctor's past and fucks things up for the doctor. Am I mistaken?
It's his last resting place, I guess.
That's right. It's his
and
tomb.
It's this sort of energy that's...
They said it was scar tissue.
But they said leg scar tissue. It's some sort
so
of like...
So you can go into the wound and connect with everything he's ever done or ever will do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, you never see what he does in the future, which is weird. It's like, this is him in the past, this is him in the future. Oh, we're going to see the future. Now you're going to see the future. Okay. So you have the bad guy going, I'm going to go into that and I'm going to fuck you up at every stage of your life and screw everything you've ever done up.
Yeah.
Interesting premise, because we've just had a little flashback earlier where you see all these different things where the doctor's in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, hello. Let's see what happens. Oh. So he goes in and then the doctor in modern life is like, oh, it's terrible. I can't believe how bad it is.
Let's talk for a while. I'll stand here and you talk too. And you can talk. I'll be a character like this.
Right.
And then I'll talk. And then.
So, okay. Now we cut to all those scenes again and we see the bad guys in them. Oh, no. But he's just standing around. Now he's just standing and looking at things and like, he's really fucking things up. By what? Watching the car go by? By what? Watching you run around? Like, what's he doing?
Yeah.
And then they cut to the present and go like, look up in the galaxy. Stars are vanishing. Yeah. Oh, and now we're all mad at each other. Okay. So some stuff's some stuff's occurring.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's done some stuff. We're not going to see what he's done. Yeah. That might be interesting, yeah. seeing what he's done, maybe mm-hmm. seeing new stuff. Mm-hmm. Then she goes to fix everything,
yeah.
and she shows up, and then now she's standing around in the same place as he was standing around, and she's fixed things,
yeah.
and now things are fixed. We didn't see how she fixed things.
No.
We didn't see her interacting with anything, really. No. It was just, it's done. Well, you know what?
I think she did one thing, which was for the William Hartnell, she tells him to choose a different TARDIS.
That is correct.
She did one thing there.
That's right. You know what would be not... It doesn't seem like it's the hardest thing in the universe to do. Because here's the thing about the internet. You can watch people doing mashups all the time. They'll mm-hmm. do, you know, this show, and then they'll edit themselves into it, and mm-hmm. it's there talking to Chewbacca
yeah.
or whatever, and they sync it up perfectly.
Yeah.
Well, just, you know what? You've had a whole season. Go to town. Have her talking to the Tom Baker. Have her affecting things. Show where the bad guy affected things. Now yeah. show her affecting things. But instead, we had like 50% of the show was them getting to the damn place, and then nothing really happens.
Yeah.
And
you just described every show of the in the season.
Yeah, there's a lot of walking
every
to it.
Every show is something happening.
It's the Simpsons gag of like, when are they going to get to the fireworks factory?
Okay.
Get to the fireworks factory. Yeah. And at the end of the show, we just didn't have time to get to the fireworks factory. Yes, you did! I saw you yapping forever.
Yeah.
Get to the fucking fireworks factory.
I can't remember which episode it was, but the one where they go and there's like the planet, the sun thing that people worship, and they yes. have this, someone sings to this creature, blah, blah, blah.
And it stops the sun from... you got to sacrifice a little girl, and that saves your planet.
Yeah, yeah. And so then the doctor stops this from happening, and then spends his time standing on this in this place, yelling at something.
Yelling a lot of fanficky stuff about,
yeah.
you don't know how hard it is for me. Right. I've lived a million years.
There's two of my least favorite things that have been brought into this doctor is the kind of Messiah, the Christ thing where he's grabbing, you know, the electro thing and I'm dying.
Right. There's less actual crucifixion poses than there were in the Tenet years. Yeah, but yes. Yeah.
And then the other one is I am the destroyer of universes. I have seen galaxies collide with other galaxies. I have seen stars twinkle. I have seen, you know, and it goes on and on with these great
Godfather 3.
Seen Godfather 3. Poor you. You know, and it's just all this declaiming, but nothing ever happens. Like, never reach into your pocket and offer someone a jelly baby. Why? Like, what happened to the doctor running around on a spaceship and fighting some thing that's trying to do something evil?
Right.
And it seems like all the evil things are kind of ineffective. Like,
well, I like
the great intelligence. What the bleep did he do?
Yeah, nothing. That wasn't very smart. You know what he did? He got beat by a lady who just went and did the same thing as him.
Yeah.
Well, wait, aren't you like a guardian of some girls, some kids? Yes. Okay, well, this is the great intelligence who's been planning this for I don't know how many hundreds of years. And he's got this whole plan, and you just go in and go, stop it. I'm like, all right, I quit. The end. Like, what? How did you beat him? We saw nothing about that.
Yeah.
But let's go back to that girl thing
you were
talking
about. It wasn't
the
great intelligence. It was the great infant.
Yeah.
So she was able to.
It was gastrointestinal, actually. They said it was GI, assumed it was great intelligence. But the thing I thought when I saw the little girl thing was, oh, this is classic Torchwood. You know, it's the thing that Captain Jack gets doing all the time, which is like, listen, we'll save the world, but we got to sacrifice a kid. And Jack goes, you got it, buddy. Here's that kid for you. Snap.
Yeah.
I saved the world. And like, wait, you know why you're the bad guy in this? It's because you did that. You see, the doctor finds a way, and that's why a hero finds a way.
That's
and
right.
you don't do that. And so you could have done a little bit more with that, but they didn't do anything with that. But let's go to the Neil Gaiman episode for a second, because that was the biggest what the fudge is happening. Again, conceptually, they're going to the greatest.
There was no fudge.
They're going to the greatest amusement park in the world.
Yes.
Well, that's something.
That sounds
and
interesting.
You know what's going to happen? We're going to bring back the Cybermen. Wow, you're bringing back the Cybermen.
Wow,
fantastic. And there's a lot of.
Great.
Let me tell you why Clara won't just be standing around going ooh this whole time.
Yeah.
Because you know how she's a guardian of two kids.
Yeah. She's
guess
an
what?
Animal.
We're putting those kids in danger. Putting those kids in danger. Now Clara's finally got some stakes, brother. We got the greatest amusement park of the world. We got Clara having some stakes.
Yeah.
We were bringing back the Cybermen. We can't deliver on
Did
anything.
You say she has some stakes?
Yeah, some stakes in this. STAKES.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
She didn't bring stakes.
She brought some stakes for there.
It'd be nice. You know what? Maybe bring a snack sometime.
Well,
it would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, because the earlier... Okay, here's the thing. The previous... Sorry, when you get two nerds going off like this kind of stuff. The previous episode, you know, has a regular episode, and then it ends with she's back to looking after the kids, which mm-hmm. is weird because you're like, aren't you constantly saving the universe and shit, but you're yeah. still doing your day job? That's yeah. strange.
Seems odd.
And then the kids find a bunch of photos of her and go like, hey, we know what you're doing. You got to take us with
you. Who's taking the pictures?
Well, okay, there's thing one. They're all really posed pictures in the middle of like things where like...
She's doing selfies.
Well, didn't all your friends just get murdered in most of these scenarios? Yeah. Like, yeah,
there's always time to run into the bathroom and take a selfie.
Yeah, of course there is. So, like, look at all these pictures. Like, all right, fine. And they blackmail her and go, like, you got to take us with you yeah. through time.
Yeah.
Or we'll tell our mom on you. Like, okay, I will. Wrong. You tell your mom. And what are they going to believe? The mom's going to believe, like, that she's a time traveler? No, you believe it because you're kids and you're dumb.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to believe it. They're just going to go, like, she's doing a cosplay
those kids
thing.
In their imagination.
There's nothing revealing about them. It's just like, oh, you were there were some World War II guys or Cold War guys in a sub. Oh, wait,
are you suggesting that some of these shows didn't make any sense?
I'm suggesting the threat wasn't there. They were blackmailing her with something that made no sense yeah. whatsoever. Okay, so cut to next episode. Mm-hmm. Now the kids are coming through time and their lives are going to be in danger.
Oh,
you're
wow.
a terrible guardian. Like, you've been on enough of these trips to know you will always have your life in danger. So you're the worst person in the world for bringing the children.
Yeah.
You're the worst human being in the world for bringing the children. Let's have a wacky adventure. They show up on the planet, and it's like, the greatest amusement park! It's broken. Oh, okay, it's broken. Well, at any point, we bring it back to life, you know, since we got Cybermen and a leg, and you got a screwdriver that can turn anything back on? No? Okay, great. So we're going to see one ride. Oh, it must be the most amazing ride there is. Yeah, you can float about 7 feet in the air for a while.
Whoa.
Wow, that's
that
great.
That must have been the most incredible amusement park.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if the roller coaster that went 4 feet up in the air was still in operation?
That'd be something. Incredible. So the kids float like that amount in the air and they're thrilled. Through the whole rest of it, they're just like, meh, this is boring. You just traveled through time. You just traveled through space. You yeah. went into a box that's bigger on the inside that has infinite things in it.
Yeah.
And you're bored. You're coming out and you're telling me you're bored. Well, then you're hey. Mentally ill, children. Then you're something really, really wrong with you. Really wrong.
Well, you know, the problem was they couldn't get any Wi-Fi on their iPod.
Yeah, she's trying to like do stuff on her cell phone
because
she's all kinds of idiot.
Yeah.
And like literally she says, I hate this. I'm bored. Like she just like you can't just as a writer. Oh, my God. You can't just have a kid come out and go, I feel this way. This is my feelings about this.
That's a lot of the shows, though.
Yeah.
We're not seeing things that are happening. We're hearing things described to us.
Yeah. You're reading what the plot said.
Mm-hmm.
And the plot is fine. The plot is fine if you do it well, but then you
agree.
And then later on in that episode, they're like, where are we going? We're going to the hilarious castle. Oh, the hilarious castle. Well, that's a lot of setup. I wonder what the hilarious castle will be like. Just a castle. Well, for fuck's sake, did you read the earlier part of the goddamn son of a...
Going to the jokey castle. You're like, oh, there'll be some mirrors and stuff and a spinning thing and a thing that blows your skirt up and all
this. That you could use to defeat robots that are mean. You know how that would be fun?
I ran out of words in my last sentence.
That's absolutely fine. We're going to have almost a Scooby-Doo type situation with like, you think, you're going to have the room of mirrors. You're going to have all this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't have to do that much shit. No. What's going to defeat them? Well, there's a moat. Is it a hilarious moat? No, just a regular moat. Fuck you then, TV show. Fuck you for you set up this thing that you couldn't deliver. And this was, the season completely was that, which is like, here comes the scariest thing in the world. Quack. It was a duck. The end. You know? There's literally one scene in that episode where it's like the Cyberman takes the hand off and the hand's crawling on the ground.
Yeah.
You know, if you've seen the Addams Family, they did a lot better.
Yeah.
And then there's one where like the hand just like goes on a person's face. It literally looks like they put their face up to the edge of the screen and a hand just came on.
Yeah.
They had run out of money completely.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like the cheesiest thing that you would have done yourself with your video camera as a kid.
Yeah.
Boo. Neil Gaiman, greatest writer in the universe.
Well, even Neil Gaiman needs to be edited. And I don't think Stephen Moffat, because he's kind of falling between two stools, doing Sherlock and doing Doctor Who.
Doing what? Three Sherlocks?
Well.
Three.
Yeah, I
three
know.
Three episodes of a show.
I know.
Yeah. Okay, that's hard. He's not writing them all, by the way.
I know.
Yeah. Okay.
I know.
Is that hard? Find someone else to do it then.
I'm just saying that's sort of the excuse for why Doctor Who, I think, has been neglected by him.
Yeah, I don't think you can, though. Like, you can't get away with neglecting it. It's got too much attention on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't get away with neglecting the main thing. You know, something so huge. Gaboo. And for some reason, there's no notes being given. I mean, it seems obvious flipping things.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my anger towards that. That's my nerd rage on that.
I think everyone...
And I love Doctor Who, by the way. I love the show. I have hopes. I like a lot of Moffat's stuff very much. Uh-huh. He's one of my favorite writers. I think Sherlock is fantastic. And that's why this season has just been a, what the hell are you doing? Mm-hmm. It's been a that. It's mm-hmm. it's like a friend and you want to just take them aside and just go, are you okay? Because you don't seem like you're okay. Are you all right? And there. What did you think with the old twisty ending at the end? The old...
I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, it's a little confusing, isn't
it? Like, it would make sense if it would be shocking if it was built up to that point.
Right.
And it's
it
like,
was actually a good concept. And then it was like such a good concept that would have been actually made for an interesting episode. Maybe the next episode will be interesting. Who knows? But
I thought it was going to be the Valeyard.
Yes. Now, why don't you explain what the Valeyard is?
Well, the Valeyard is, I think, from the I seem to remember from the Tom Baker times when they were just kind of getting the whole regeneration thing more kind of standardized, you know, because Doctor Who's one of those sort of things that it's sort of a built up, you know, it has its own kind of built up, what's the word I'm looking for? Rules.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it started off as this.
I was going to say canon, but I know you talk about William Canon.
Yeah.
William Conrad.
That's true. It has a sort of improvised canon, you know, it wasn't like set. Someone didn't say, sit down and write the Bible of Doctor Who, that he's this and this is going to happen and blah, blah, blah.
You make it up as you go along.
Yeah, it had a lot of that to it.
Star Trek does a little of that too.
Over time,
it's like, just make it up as you go along.
And this is probably to the show's detriment. Those sort of things have become more, set in stone.
Yeah, firm and fast, which they shouldn't be.
That's right.
You end up with problems like one of the doctors saying, I'm half human. Now what do we do with that?
Yeah.
And so you got to do a whole bunch of fanficky wanking around instead of just going, fucking forget about it. That's what you do about it. We just never bring it up again. The end. Why do the Klingons look human and then they look with ridges on their head? I don't fucking care because they do. The end. Moving on.
So in this time, it's mentioned that in Doctor Who's future, in between the 11th and 12th regeneration, there is some sort of Doctor Who-like being who's not part of the regular run of regeneration, so he's not counted as a number.
Right.
But he's called the Valeyard, and he's basically all of the negative traits and all the negative parts of Doctor Who's life that all become sort of embodied in one person. And so anything sort of negative, but so why is he such a positive person? Why is he so good and noble and everything? Well,
he's been saving it all up.
Everything bad is sort of been somehow
right.
Sent to
which doesn't really make a lot of sense because, the doctor's been a jerk at times too, and later was a jerk.
Well, that's a more of a later thing, okay. I think. You don't really get that. I've seen galaxies destroyed. You didn't hear Tom Baker
the
say
first,
that.
The first doctor was a grump.
He was grumpy.
He was a grumpy grandpa.
He was grumpy like a grumpy grandpa. He wasn't like grumpy I've seen universes.
Oh, I understand that, but he wasn't all sunshine and roses. You know, let's all go have a great time. He was like,
He wasn't that grumpy.
Yeah, he was a bit grumpy.
No, he wasn't grumpy.
Let's watch the first episode again, everybody.
Yeah.
And see how grumpy he was. He was pretty grumpy. Here's
I think he's more impatient with humans.
Now we're going to really spoil it. Mm. So, folks, if you want to just end now, it's fair. I'm going to really spoil it. John Hurt is there.
Yeah.
And John Hurt is revealed as the doctor.
Yeah.
To the point where the current doctor is saying to him, you're not the doctor because you didn't behave like the doctor. You're not the doctor. He turns around and then, the Chiron disagrees with him. Yeah, that's right. The Chiron says, introducing John Hurt, which, by the way, is hilarious to say you're introducing John Hurt.
Yeah.
Nice one on there. Okay, that's good. Who's this guy?
Yeah.
As the doctor. Okay, no shit. This guy's the doctor.
Yeah.
So one of two things. One, he is that character that you're talking about, and he's the next dude.
Yeah.
But more than likely, what, you know, is happening is he was the guy in between the Paul McGann and the Christopher Eccleston doctor. Because between Paul McGann and Christopher Eccleston, Doctor Who committed genocide on the Daleks. He was in the Time War, and he had to do things that were not doctory at all. Yeah. He had to kill a whole planet. He did things that fucked him up, huge. And so it kind of makes sense that he had to be something that was not the Doctor, and that was a regeneration in between those two.
That could still be the Valeyard. I mean, it could still keep
absolutely. Or you could have called the Valeyard in from the future to the past because everything timey-wimey, blah, blah, blah. You can pull it off.
Yeah.
Either way, you're going to do it. Anyway, this is the doctor who had to do shit the doctor wouldn't do.
I personally would really enjoy seeing John Hurt as sort of the normal, regular doctor. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that would be great. And I'm getting kind of sick of the doctors getting younger and younger as well. I feel like the next one's going to be like some 16-year-old kid. You know, then the girls will really be going crazy. You know, it's kind of like, what happened to, John Pertwee? And you know, those guys weren't spring chickens, you know,
Well, the doctor's kind of aging backwards.
Yeah, but it,
You know, maybe he's burning through the years. Maybe that was always my nerdy fanficky thing. It's just like, yeah, he's got less years. He's burning through them.
It has nothing to do with that. It's just about our insane youth culture we live in that can't stand to look at a wrinkly face. Maybe. So that's what it's more about.
Yeah, possibly.
Oh, for sure.
Could be.
Totally.
You know, people like Gandalf. No one goes like, can't we have a young, sexy Gandalf? No, they're fine with that. They got no problem with Gandalf.
Yeah,
but no, I mean, look at Lord of the Rings. You got like maybe one or two handsome dudes.
Yeah.
Then you got like, is it Martin Freeman? Is that his name? The main guy? Yeah, he's totally not the best looking guy in the universe. No. He's just a character thing. And then Oldie Von Olsen's hanging around and then a bunch of ugly dwarves. Yeah, it's fine. People can handle
there.
That.
It's fine there.
But that movie did fine. I think that made enough money.
Doctor Who is a different sort of situation.
I don't think it's radically different.
It's radically different.
I think it's a similar audience.
One is based in a book, and the other one's based on a porridge.
I have no idea at all what that means. So it's a good time to start wrapping things up.
Everybody.
You know, if it's Saturday, and you're listening to this, in your car. First of all, good on Dave for getting this out really early. Good for him.
Yeah.
And if it's late Saturday and you're like, let me tell you,
why isn't David Van Kef?
That's right. Well, you should go to bed. Go to bed.
Okay.
And then when you wake up, come to Van Kef, which is Vancouver Comics Arts Festival in Vancouver, hence the name.
Mm-hmm.
And you will see me and David, at tables. Well, we're sharing a table.
I think
we're sharing a table. How do we get that?
There's three of us at one table.
No, we're not.
Yeah.
Who's the third?
Stinky Dragon.
Oh, very good. Dave, see, it's sort of like a Harvey situation with Dave. He just sees the damn dragon. That's how we can draw him in all the different poses.
Have you met my friend Sneaky?
Yeah, that's pretty much how Dave does it. Yeah. We'll be there. We'll have t-shirts. I'll be selling some original Sneaky Dragon art, some of the cartoons that I've been doing weekly on the show.
Why are you doing that?
I'm doing that to raise a little money for my cat Charlie's operation. He's got stuff in him that is not cancer. Did a lot of tests to make sure it wasn't cancer, it's not cancer, but it's stuff that should not be in a cat.
Okay.
And we're going to take it out.
He's full of dog.
And as those of you with pets know, when you go to the vet, holy cow, it costs a lot of money. So, boy, I tell you. It feels like we're American on the American healthcare plan.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's one of those situations. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, we got to raise a little bit of money. So, what I'm doing is I'm selling my original pages for $20 each.
Oh,
good value.
Yep, good value.
Good value. Good value. So, come and buy a page or buy a shirt. And the shirts, the money goes into Dave's pocket for his drug habit. Right. You know what he's addicted to? That powder that's on gum from the 70s. And that shit is hard to find.
It is.
Nowadays.
Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah, come and say hi to us. And we're going to be doing a live Sneaky Dragon there. Is it at 3 o'clock?
It's at 3 o'clock.
And we're with
May 26.
It's Sneaky Dragon versus Colin Upton, local comics legend.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be talking about how he does things, why he does things, how we do things, why people do things, the doings of things.
Why things work.
And why things work. We'll be watching an episode of the TV show, Why Things Work.
Yeah.
And then we'll watch how it's made. And maybe Mythbusters if we have time. Because we'll be like those news guys who are looking at the newspapers. We'll be like, we'll just watch some TV during our podcast.
Come on, guys.
Yeah.
We'll do some funny riffing. Or what I mean by that is we'll say one or two funny things at the beginning and then get totally engrossed in the show and stop talking.
And if that's not enough for you, earlier on in the day, I'll be there with Nina Matsumoto and James Lloyd from Bongo Comics, who are also both chums.
Yes.
James Lloyd is like across the hall from us right now.
That's right.
From Hell Kitty Studios.
That's why Ian is whispering.
That's right. We'll be talking all things.
Someone mention my name?
We'll be talking all things Springfield, and all things Bongo, and all things New York. So Simpsons, Futurama, all that business. We'll be yapping about that. So come say hi to us, because we'll be there both days. We'll be Saturday and Sunday, but Sunday is the day we're doing our live podcast. And we'd love to see you there.
That's right.
And Dave has a new T-shirt that's coming out at this con.
That's
that
right.
That he's debuting. That is Ghost Dragon.
Yes.
The shirt.
All the way back to episode 12.
Right. Our best episode, where we peaked. Everyone generally went.
It's been a long downhill.
Holy cow, that was a long downhill because it was not a long uphill.
No,
it's amazing that the downhill seems to be at least 20 times as long as the uphill.
We took the elevator up and the escalator down.
Absolutely, we did. So come say hi. If you like comic books, and maybe you would if you're the kind of person who goes to Van Kef, Simpsons Comics, Futurama Comics, I write for both of them. New issues are out right now. Listen to The Irrelevant Show. I write sketches for that. It's a very funny show. You can listen to it on the iTunes. You can listen to it directly on CBC's website. And if you want to listen to us in a way that's different than this, we're also on Stitcher Media.
Yes.
Is it Stitcher Smart Media?
Stitcher Smart Radio.
Stitcher Smart.
Cheshire Cat.
That's right. We're on Cheshire Cat Radio. You can't find it. Once you click on it, it vanishes.
We're Cheshire Sauce Radio.
Okay. It's Dave's job to wrap up this episode, so I'm now turning the microphone over to him.
I just wanted to say one more thing before we close.
Dave can never end the show.
That the cost for the Van Calf is free. So okay. If you wanted it,
but if you get your tickets now, if you actually show up, it'll be double that on the day.
Yes, it'll be 2x0, which is still
substantial in today's economy.
Zero.
That's right.
So it's still free. It's free on the day.
It's worth going just to go to workshops and stuff. There's free workshops.
Yeah, it's great.
You know, you're going like, I'm a tidy fist. Well, tidy fist, come on down.
Yeah.
You know, and just go see a bunch of free stuff. And then if you don't like that, there's trains there. We're at the Roundhouse. That's right. There's trains.
That's right.
Real trains. Go to that and free washroom facilities. Go and take a poop. You know, you're walking downtown, like, where can I take a poop? I don't know. How about the Roundhouse? Sounds appropriate. Go in and then go see a thing. Go see a workshop.
If you're going to come down and poop, try and do it around 3 o'clock so that you can come see the show.
That's right. If you give a shit, come on down. That's what we're saying. See, Dave, we could have wrapped this up 5 minutes earlier gotten scatological.
You went there, sir.
Wrap it up.
Oh, I'm supposed to wrap it up.
Yeah, it's your job.
Okay, everybody. This has been episode 77 of Sneaky Dragon.
Woo!
I can't look at Ian because he's looking at me kind of in a skeptical way. Like, you can't carry this off, Dave. There's no way you can
do it. Are you thinking of a joke, Dave? Nope. You're trying to think of a joke to end this?
I'm madly trying to think of a hilarious joke to end it. And peanut butter. Good night, everybody.